All right, Billy Cunningham, the great American, and one of the great books recently written about the rise and fall of a great American city is one by Matt Rosenberg, What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. In the fall of 2020, amidst riots and looting and alarming uptick in senseless killings, journalist Matt Rosenberg returned to his native Chicago, the home of Harry Caray and so many others, to see if the city can dig itself out of the hot mess it became. And that resulted in this book, which is What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. And Matt Rosenberg, welcome to the Bill Cunningham Show. And Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's talk about Chicago. Let's talk about, Matt, the Chicago that you knew for those 30 years of your life. Let's go back in time to set the predicate and the premise. Describe Chicago that you knew.
It was a city of industry, a city of hope, a city of opportunity. There was, the stench and noise of progress, and it was a good stench and a good noise. There were jobs in the steel mills, in the meat processing plants. The schools worked reasonably well. You did not take your life into your hands when you walked down the street. Families were more intact. There were at one point 8 daily newspapers, 4 when I was growing up. There was a robust mainstream media that called politicians to account. There were even Republicans in public life at the fringes of politics in Cook County. There was dialogue and debate. There was no censoriousness. Nobody was telling you this or that topic was off limits. And then there was the stuff that still remains, the amazing architecture, the culture, the intellectual and financial capital of the place, and the people who still are mostly fantastic and warm and open-hearted and high-achieving. So, it was the heart and the soul of the nation, along with a few other cities, in my estimation.
It was also the home of Mike Ditka, the Harry Caray days. A kid could find him or herself in a hole. There was a ladder out of the hole that was called the public education system. There were moms and dads with strollers walking around the south side of Chicago. There was a vibrant community. There weren't bombed out areas that made it look like Beirut. And so you were gone for a number of years. Then you return in 2020. What kind of which, by the way, the story of Chicago, it's the story of Cincinnati, it's the story of Memphis, it's the story of St. Louis, it's the story of Los Angeles, it's the story of New York, it's the story of every great American city. What did you find in 2020?
Well, I found despair, violence, some amount of hopelessness. I did find success stories. I found pockets of hope, and I accent some of that in the book, and I think it's important to do that. I found that hope still lives one household by one household. But the streets are a jungle. It's a 24/7 unreality show. It's extended to downtown. The schools, the performance data are utterly, hugely dismaying, particularly for Black and Latino students. The Cook County court system is just a flaming, cartwheeling train wreck. Thanks largely to the misapplication of something called bail reform, which indeed we've seen run off the rails in many of those other cities that you just mentioned. Finally, we see a worsening of the endemic corruption, and the thing that no one ever talks about that is driven by the corruption, rigged rules of governance, which divide the city into two classes, the insiders and everyone else.
I just potted up a website that chronicles major American cities with shots, total shot, that is people that are wounded and people that are killed. Right now in Chicago, there's about 4,000 people have been shot year to date and about 750 murdered. And I'm told by Chicago detectives and homicide that they go from scene to scene without the ability of investigating almost any crime. If the murderer is not standing on top of the dead body with a gun in his hands, unlikely that person's going to be apprehended. The apprehension rate, the solving rate in Chicago is under 20%. And so when that's the case, and that largely happens in black and brown communities, what message does that send to the citizenry about the seriousness of law enforcement to solve murders? And then once they find a murderer and lock him up, they're quickly released under some sort of social justice rule about not keeping people that not yet been convicted of crime in jail. And so once out, they then look around to kill the witnesses or someone that may turn them in. The Chicago you knew 25, 30 years ago didn't exist that way, even though the black population was greater then than it is now. So what happened to law enforcement in the city of Chicago?
You know, I think in a way it all traces back to the universities. It started with something called deconstructionism that got turned into moral relativism that got turned into social justice. And it's infected a whole class of public officials and really a whole class of voters out there. We feel guilty about disparate outcomes. And we forget that disparate outcomes, meaning, for instance, lower achievement by African Americans in public schools, greater arrest rates, greater crime rates, a greater amount of murder in African communities, these are based on disparate inputs. So what we have now, and I think what has happened is the permeation of some people call it critical race theory, Bill. I call it the unified theory of systemic racism in Chicago, and our mayor, Lori Lightfoot, is a prime exponent of it. And it's basically a racist setup. It says we can't hold blacks to the same standard as whites. And many black people I spoke to on the South Side in my field work down there for this book bridle at that notion. They're like, no, ask things of us. Ask more of us. We're asking more of our own community. So I think that's what's really happened from, 20,000 feet.
In the last decade or two, you went through a Second Daily 8 or 12 years. You went through Rahm Emanuel 8 years. Lori Lightfoot may be in trouble when she runs for re-election. Who knows? But is there any hope looking forward from your interviews of Chicago residents, and the same principles apply in every major American city, is there any hope that there will be a serious debate among core Democratic voters, white liberals, and African Americans specifically, that we need to go in a different direction, that the course we're on is the wrong course, and we got to stop voting for the leaders that have caused the conditions we're forced to live under? Is there some light that's gone on with white liberals and African-American voters, especially female African-American voters, who vote over 90% for Democrats? Is there some apprehension we're on the wrong course and we got to change?
There is, but I don't know if it will translate into political action. When you go to the community level, there's a great and valid gnashing of teeth, let's call it, in the African American community about the senseless violence. You hear community elders, and by that I mean even 40, 50 year old black folks saying, the young bloods out there don't respect human life. It wasn't like this. It's gotten dire. This has to change. So you hear that at the community level, but it doesn't translate, number one, into voting,
right,
and number two, into finding a new way, which is so sorely needed. So I think, there's going to have to be a bottom-up revolution, a voter registration, a rebranding of the reform effort, a new, even though we have nonpartisan elections here, a new party called, for instance, the Chicago Reform Party. I mean, right now we've got six socialists on the city council, and that's versus one before 2019. So you can see the direction that things are going in, and it's not good at all. People with money have to step in to fund a civic engagement effort, and it sounds dull and boring and ineffective, but I think you have to start at the root. You have to convince people that politics and policy matter. And here's the brilliant thing politically that the progressives have done. They've made failure their political success strategy, because the more they fail to fix the schools, courts, crime, and corruption, the more the people tune out and don't vote, except for public employee union members and, employees of large contractors.
What's Next Chicago is the book by Matt Rosenberg. As far as the education system, I've often said in any major American city, Chicago is a prime example. Whether it's Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore, St. Louis, Los Angeles, San Francisco is in complete meltdown. What's happening in Portland, Seattle is a joke. Education is the way out of the hole in which a kid may find him or herself. Are they being taught wokeism or reading, writing, and arithmetic in Chicago public schools? And if it's the latter and not the former, the long-term impact is awful. If a kid comes out of Chicago public schools, the odds of being able to read at the appropriate grade level is almost zero. So education has always been the ladder for me and for many others out of the hole in which you may find yourself. But who's teaching the children? And what are they teaching? And are they looking for more examples of Trumpism as an excuse for their failure?
There's a heavy, heavy layer of, racial justice theory embedded into how administrators and teachers are directed to do their jobs. It's a fair bet that a good amount of that makes its way into the classroom. This much we know, the performance data are utterly miserable. If you look at the nation's report card, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, fourth and eighth graders are, on the whole, very, very many, like three-quarters of them, not proficient in reading and math. For black students, it's less than one in five. If you look at the SAT results, it's a very similar thing, again, with dramatically worse outcomes for students of color. If you look at the college-going rate for ninth graders 10 years later, the college completion rate, it's utterly dismal as well. So, the global economy, even the national economy, the Democrats and progressives who run Chicago don't know about innovation. They're actually very conservative. They're very set and stuck in their ways. It's time to move fast and break things in education. There are some specific examples, Bill, that really matter. There are some bright lights. There have been more than 100 public charter schools created. Many of them have been a pathway out. Now the teachers' union has put a blockade, backed by Lightfoot, on the growth of charter schools. That needs to change when a new mayor is elected in 2023. Then there's a private school scholarship program that the state facilitates through a 75% state income tax credit. It's very important. It's called Invest in Kids. It's a five-year pilot that needs to be made permanent. But the Democratic billionaire governor, J.B. Pritzker, has twice tried to kneecap this program. Twice he's been beaten back. And here's an interesting thing, Bill, that gives you some hope. It was parents and students of color from Catholic schools and other private schools who went down to the state capitol in Springfield and convinced state legislators not to cut the funding or not to cut the tax credit level. These two different times the governor tried to emasculate the program, and they won. So that tells me that if constituents, especially constituents of color, step up and speak out, they can be heard even by Democratic legislators. So I think there's something to really think about there.
And also, the cost of public education in Chicago is about $18,000 per student per year with terrible results. A few years ago, I found myself on Michigan Avenue at the Water Tower. If somebody over the holidays would spend time in December, it used to be a great time on Michigan Avenue, the Magnificent Mile, the Water Tower, and somebody would walk down in December, maybe a week or two before Christmas. What kind of commercial activity would you see there?
Back in the old days or now?
Back in the old days and then now.
Well, back in the old days, I mean, it was just beautiful. There are decorations, there are lights, there might be a little snow dusting things, happy people, money being spent. Just a great, great vibrancy and holiday cheer. This year, maybe we'll see a little bit of that. I'm back in Chicago again. I've been here since early September. I think what you see right now downtown on the Magnificent Mile is way more closed stores than before. You also might very well see an armed robbery crew sweeping into a high-end boutique and taking tens of thousands of dollars worth of expensive handbags or other clothing items off the shelves. That's a thing that is occurring more and more here. You might see them cleaning out a beauty supply store. You might see an armed robbery crew jumping out of a carjacked SUV and relieving a dozen people with their phones and wallets. That continues to happen.
No.
You might see a random stabbing or a gang shooting right at Michigan and Oak Street. It's really gone off the rails, Bill, and it's a sad and scary thing to see.
Do you have hope, Matt? Do you have hope in 10 or 20 years, if I'm still on the radio, which is unlikely, and you're still writing a book, a follow-up, what is the hope that you have in 10 or 20 years?
Well, the hope is that some of the promise that I saw here will have led to bigger things. For instance, the hope is that continuing education, job training, and family solidarity, which are all present here in not insignificant doses, hidden between the cracks of life and media coverage, that those things will have blossomed. For instance, the micro-lending program right now down on the southeast side, undertaken by the Chicago Neighborhoods Initiative, where they're helping black ex-convicts become small business owners,
yes,
running delivery companies.
Yes.
That's a fantastic thing. The two-parent families in black neighborhoods that are homeschooling their kids or sending them to charter schools, mom and dad are staying together, raising their kids right. That happens here. We don't hear about it, but it happens. So my hope is we see more of those kinds of things.
All right, lastly, the book is Matt Rosenberg, What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. It's everywhere in Google. And it's not just about Chicago. You could overlay almost any major American city and say, what's next, Sacramento? What's next, Portland? What's next, Cincinnati? But Matt Rosenberg, thank you again for coming on the Bill Cunningham Show, and good luck to you in the future. Good luck.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a pleasure.
Matt Rosenberg. All right, let's continue with more. Our nation's big cities are broken. Yep, they are. And those who caused the problem now seek to lead us into a different direction, getting the same result.